Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. While mass incarceration and the skyrocketing increase in the number of people behind bars have been well documented, what's not very well known is what happens once people are released from prison. Our next guests closely followed more than 100 people in the year after they were released from prison in Massachusetts. And he says his research raises some profound questions about prisons, punishment, and society's obligations to those who've been incarcerated. Bruce Western is a criminal justice and sociology professor at Harvard University, and he's co-director of the Columbia Justice Lab. His new book, Homeward, Life in the Year After Prison, is based on a study that he led that followed 122 people in the Boston area as they navigated their first year out. And he joins us from New York. Bruce, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you followed more than 100 people, as we said, in your study. And I want to let listeners know that we will hear some excerpts of interviews that you did with people in their first year out of prison. But what, essentially, were you hoping to learn in your Boston reentry study?
Yeah, we were trying to find out how people made ends meet after they were released from prison, how they reconnected with family, how they found jobs, how their health was going. And when they did go back to prison, what was going on that led them back into incarceration? And so we were trying to learn about a whole variety of different topics that were as much connected to poverty, I think, in America as much to criminal justice.
So when you say led them back into incarceration, a lot of times when we talk about reentry, as it's called, there's a lot of numbers about recidivism. What did you learn about folks who were likely to reoffend that first year out and what kind of policies might help them not to reoffend?
Yeah. So recidivism in many ways is, you know, the whole focus of so much of criminal justice policy and prison policy in particular. And I think one of the things that we found out is that when people find themselves returning to custody, a lot of different things are going on. Sometimes they're returning to crime and getting back involved in crime. So a lot of times they're relapsing to addiction, and relapse to addiction was the biggest cause of the return to custody. And the pathway from relapse back into prison could take a lot of different forms. Sometimes people were on binges and getting involved in crimes, doing robberies to help support their addiction. Sometimes they were failing drug tests, and sometimes they were just causing conflict, becoming antisocial. They weren't getting involved in serious crime again, but they were getting rearrested. And often if they were under parole or probation supervision, they'd be locked up again. So recidivism is a lot of different things. It's not just a return to criminal behavior.
I see. You know, you said something in the book that really stood out to me. You wrote, quote, human frailty reveals that our prisons are not just crime control institutions, but social policy instruments of last resort. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So we saw, as we got to know the people we were interviewing, and we were talking to people many times over the course of a year, and one of the really striking things is that a lot of people we were interviewing were really struggling with mental illness and physical illness. And the physical illnesses they were dealing with were things like chronic disease, infectious diseases, chronic pain, often related to drug use. Mental illnesses they were struggling with were mood disorders like depression, and a handful of people in our sample had serious mental illness like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. And often these things were co-occurring, and so people who struggled with chronic pain also had chronic diseases of other kinds, also struggling with mental health problems. And so they were physically and mentally vulnerable in many ways, and this was a large part of why they were coming into conflict with the law, why they were getting arrested, mm-hmm. And why they were finding their way into prison. And so the prison then, in this case, I think is responding not just to serious crime. It's not just punishing serious crime, but it's responding to a whole sequence of failures of our social institutions to keep people safe and healthy. Right. And I think when people are going to prison because they're mentally ill, they're struggling with disability and so on, our institutions, our penal institutions are being called on to do something quite different from punishment.
Right, right. You know, you talk about your interviews with a lot of the folks and how they describe what they had to go through. And so I wonder, when you're using a penal institution to sort of be this social service agency, if you will, what that does to some of the people involved, particularly the most vulnerable, obviously can have very detrimental effects. And I want to play a clip here of an interview that you did, one of the women that you followed, Maria, where she talks about sort of the anxiety that she felt leaving prison and how it was difficult for her to establish even a simple routine. And we will say Maria's not a real name. You did change the names of the participants in the book to protect their privacy. But I want to listen to a little bit of how Maria describes what she had to do to establish a routine after she was released from prison. Let's listen.
The first 6 months, like, I wouldn't eat. Not that I wouldn't eat, but, like, I was so used to, like, you know, somebody telling me, like, when I had to go eat. Do you know what I mean? That, like, like I wouldn't eat until, like, 6 o'clock at night because, like, I didn't have somebody telling me to eat breakfast and eat lunch and eat dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would go all day without eating and then just come home and eat dinner.
So, Bruce Western, in the book you use the term prisonization and deprisonization. Is this what you're talking about here? Sort of people who were prisonized, if you will, and how they have to then make that transition. Explain what that does to someone and how it affects reentry.
Yeah. So there was this old term, prisonization, that sociologist Donald Clemmer coined in the 1940s, and he described this as all the little behavioral adaptations that people made to being incarcerated. And we saw in our reentry study, as people returned to community, they had to shed all of these little behaviors and become used to life in free society. So, for example, a lot of people we were speaking to, particularly in the first couple of weeks after they got out of prison, they were very anxious in crowds. They avoided riding the T. They avoided riding the bus. They didn't like being jostled at all. People wouldn't apologize to them if they bumped into them on the street. Mm. And this was a whole new mode of social interaction that the people we're interviewing had to adapt to. After people came out, they got haircuts. They bought new clothes. They had welcome home parties. And these were all little steps on the way to shedding the institution, leaving it behind, and trying to find a place back in society again. And this is a process of deprisonization. And Maria's experience, I think, was really typical. Things, normal things that we have to do to just take part in everyday life, she had to relearn again after incarceration.
In the last minute or so that we have left, Bruce Western, I'm wondering if you could tell me, what did you find surprising about this? I think many of us might think, you know, a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people in jail probably do have mental illness and substance use disorders, and probably violence is an issue and poverty is an issue. What stood out most to you?
Yeah, I think one of the things that was really unexpected for us, and we sort of learned it slowly as we got to know the people we were talking to, and that was the great exposure to violence and trauma over a lifetime people in state prison were facing. And I think, you know, in criminal justice policy talk, it divides the world into two groups of people, victims and offenders. You're either one or the other, and the system keeps potential victims safe from offenders. But all the people we were talking to were both victims and offenders. They had significant histories of victimization that often began very early in childhood. And I, for me, this was tremendously ethically challenging. I think we should be rethinking our foundations of our penal institutions.
All right. Bruce Western, sociology professor at Harvard University, visiting professor at Columbia University, and author of Homeward, Life in the Year After Prison. Bruce, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. Coming up, the music of Alanis Morissette on stage at the ART. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.